Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Dalet. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of Zichron Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. The good news is that we're still on topic. We're going to be on the same topic for a little bit of time. Mishnah and Beis, Daf Gimel, yesterday's daf, today's daf, and tomorrow's daf as well, all will be revolving around one topic, and that is, what is the reason behind the Mishnah? The Mishnah taught us that when you bring a get from Medina Sayam, so you're from your child, you're transporting the get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so you have to say the four magic words of Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. And just the delivery by itself is not enough. As we already discussed, Maker Hadin, you're Shliach. You're Shliach Habal, Shliach Holacha. So your mission, your chief objective is to deliver the get from the husband to the wife. And delivery of the get just simply means that you're going to hand it over to her. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to make the instructions. Are just simply, as your Shliachus, it's just simply to deliver. But under certain contexts, specifically, when you're going from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so you have to say B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta. That is the halacha of the Mishnah, with many details which we're going to articulate today, but that's the basic halacha. And the question we dealt with and we're dealing with is why? Why should that be? Why do you have to say B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta? And this, we have two shitas amongst the Amoraim. We have Rabbah and Rava. Rabbah's of the opinion, both of these were introduced to us on Beis Amud Beis. Rabbah's of the opinion that the concern is Lishma. The people living outside of Eretz Yisrael are not that knowledgeable, they're not that learned, or according to Tosfos, they just simply don't buy into this drasha, however you frame it, but they don't understand, they don't know this halacha of Lishma, that when you write a get, you have to write it specifically for this man and for this woman. You can't use pre-made shtaros, pre-made gittin. And as a consequence, and this is such a serious halacha that if you don't write the get lishma, the get's puzzle. So we're afraid, we're concerned that maybe the people in Medina Siyam don't know about this. So therefore, they're gonna the sofer may write this shalom lishma. No one's gonna know because you can't see shalom lishma. It's just part and parcel now of the get. The get looks like a regular get, and so therefore the words b'fana nechtam are there to tip off the recipient. Yes, this get was written lishma. Now, exactly how the tip-off works, so that also was a little discussion that we saw in the Rishonim. Rashi's of the opinion on Beis Amud Beis that it induce the recipient to ask the question. Oh, b'fana nechta, b'fana nechtam, it's like almost like code. Oh, really? it's like now you know the passcode. Oh, really? And was the get written lishma? And the answer is going to be yes. So there's a follow-up question according to Rashi on Beis Amud Beis. We already pointed out, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Tosis pointed out, it's a little bit difficult to understand. You don't see any follow-up questions anywhere in the Gemara. So, okay, that Rashi is a little bit difficult. Tosis says much simpler, that Befana Nechta, Befana Nechtam is a testimony about the fact that the get was written lishma. It was written in front of me, meaning I saw it being written lishma, and Befana Nechtam, and it was signed in front of me. I saw it being signed lishma. That is, that's Rabba's understanding. Rava says, no, the issue is not lishma. No, I'm sorry, before I move on to Rava, the Gemara acknowledges that when we're talking about Sofrim, if you're a Sofer, even if you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, you know about the halacha of Lishma, it's like one of the most basic halachas. And the Gemara conceded, even according to Rabba, most Sofrim, even within Shitas Rebbe Meir, who's Choshesh Lemiyuta, most Sofrim know about this halacha of Lishma. This is a stringency imposed by the Chachamim. And the Chachamim didn't want to be overbearing with this stringency. That's why they only required one and not two. Okay. That is Shitas Rabba. Now we turn to Shitas Rava. Rava says, no, I don't agree with Lishma. I don't think it's I agree with the concept of Lishma. I don't think it's an issue. Every sofer knows they have to write the get Lishma. That's the ABCs of writing a get. So that's not the issue. The issue is Kiyum. We know that every document has to go through a certification process. How do you certify? So again, there are three ways that you could certify. We're only focusing on the first two. Either you'll have the witnesses themselves come into Beis Din, point to their own signature and say, that's my signature, and you'll have both Edim do that, or you'll have another pair of Edim come in and say, we know that signature, and that signature does in fact belong to so-and-so. We recognize that signature. Either way, that's done in front of a Beis Din. Beis Din writes a certification on the document itself that it in fact has been now been certified. That's the principle, the concept of Kiyum Shtaros. what Rav explains is that the concern in our Mishnah is that, look, we're having a get, it's been transported over many miles from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. What if the husband ever challenges the validity of the get? Now what? You're going to be able to produce the witnesses who signed on it? They live Yenim. They live out in the sticks. They're not here, and they live out of town. So what are you going to do? So what the institution Befanei Nechtam allows us to do is have the shliach come, and he'll be the one certifying the validity of the document. He'll be doing the Kiyum Hashtar. Again, we can ask the same question. You need two. The one is not going to be sufficient. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is, again, fundamentally, we really don't need Kiyum Hashtar. We're talking about a get. The get was written, signed by two witnesses. It has to be, the Gemara explained on Daf Gimel, it has to be handed over in front of a group of people. It was written and signed correctly. The signatures are in fact valid signatures. This is not a forged document. Fundamentally, it's just that the Chachamim added an extra layer of protection. But again, not to be overbearing on their extra level of protection, they will allow for one person to come and say, these Befanei Nechtam, it was signed, it was written and signed in front of me. The Gemara notes that according to Rava, just stay on Rava for a moment, according to Rava, so why do you have to say Befanei Nechtav? It was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. If the whole issue is Kim Shtaros, so then the only thing he would need to say is Befanei Nechtam. He's just testifying about the signatures. Why mention anything about the Ksiva? The Gemara was bothered by that. The Gemara answered on behalf of Rava. The answer to that you can see on yesterday's Daf, on Daf Gimel. According to Rabba, who says the issue is Lishma, so Iker Chasim and a Sefer, why are you saying Befanei Nechtav? What you really should be saying is Befanei Nechtav Lishma. Why not add that additional word, which is really the most important word that should be there, and it's not there? How come? So the Gemara says, it's onerous, right? Too many words. It's the three words instead of two words, actually six instead of four, but two times two versus two times three. It's onerous. It's too onerous. Once you give him too much to say, he's gonna mess it up. Okay. Adkan, that was just a quick review of basically Dav Beis and Dav Gimel. Basically. Here's now what the Gemara is grappling with, and this will take us through a good part of this ended yesterday's daf and take us into today's daf. We're starting on Gimel Amud Beis, and we're headed up to today's daf, which is Daf Dalet. Question. According to Rabba Lishma, according to Rabba, who says that the whole issue is an issue of Lishma, so what is the formula that you have to say, Befanei Nechtav, it was written in front of me, or Befanei Nechtav, and it was signed in front of me? As we introduced ourselves to yesterday, and an idea that we're going to come to again and again throughout the Masechta, it's one of the cornerstone concepts of the Masechta. When you write a document, truth of the matter is, this is really a global discussion regarding all documents. Just happens to be that we're discussing it right now in the context of Gittin, which makes sense. That's the Masechta we're learning. Is that when you talk about a document, what is the Iker Hashtar? What is considered the very basic part of a document? Is it the ksav, the ksiva, the content of that which was written? Is that the ikar hashtar? Or is it the chasima? Or is it the signing? This is a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar. Not Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar. Machlokus between Tanayim, what is considered the ikar part of a document? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the ikar part of a document is the chasima. It's the signing of the document. Obviously, you need content in the document. The what you write on the get obviously is essential, but in terms of defining what is a document, the document is the signing of the document. That means that according to Rabbi Meir, what has to be done lishma? The writing of the document? No. The signing of the document has to be lishma, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Lazar says no. The truth of the matter is, according to Rabbi Lazar, a document doesn't even need witnesses signed on it. A document written is sufficient. When the Torah says v'kasav la, and you're going to write for her, the Torah is describing not the signatures, the Torah is describing the actual document itself, the ksiv on the document. So according to Rabbi Lazar, what is the ikar hashtar? The actual document, the ksiva itself. Okay, that means now that this machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar will limit the application of lishma. When do I need lishma? According to Rabbi Meir, I only need lishma for the chasima, not for the ksiva. According to Rav Elazar, when do I need lishma? Only for the ksiva, not for the chasima. Which then led the Gemara to ask a brilliant question. If that's true, that you either have only Rebbe Elazar or you only have Rebbe Meir, so why do you need to say Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtav? Now, Hedy suggested yesterday, well, let's just appease both. Meaning, we don't know, and let's just assume that we'll follow both positions. Say it's a reasonable suggestion, but as the Gemara at this point, the Gemara will end up coming around to that. Although I'm not perfectly presenting the Gemara, you'll see later on exactly how the Gemara presents itself. But for the time being, the Gemara does not view that as an option. It's either we hold like Rabbi Lazar or we hold like Rabbi Meir. It's either the Iker is the Ksiva or the Iker is the Chasima. And so therefore, there's no need to say Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtav. Say one or the other, depending on who you hold like. And when the Mishnah says Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtav, who's the Mishnah following? That's the question. So we're going to now attempt to start answering that question. The Ella Rebbe Meirhi. So now we are on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, and this is now the Gemara's first attempt of answering this question of whose opinion is the Tana reflecting. Etla Rebbe Meirhi. So the Gemara starts off by suggesting that it is the Shita of Rebbe Meir. And again, according to Rebbe Meir, the Iker Shtar is the Chasima, and I only need Lishma on the Chasima. The Chila by Rebbe Meir, Ksiva Lishma Midaraisa Midarabanam Baye. So the Gemara says, but maybe we can make the following suggestion, that according to Rebbe Meir, on the Ksiva itself, Mina Torah, there's no requirement of Lishma. Midarabanan, there is a requirement. The Gemara says, no, that's not. We're just not going to accept that. But Amar Rav Nachman, Omer Hayah Rebbe Meir, but Rav Nachman says, or Rav Meir used to say all the time. Now, I don't know if Rav Nachman heard this directly from Meir. It seems to be difficult to imagine. Rav Nachman's a couple generations later, but okay, he had a Kabbalah, that this is what Rav Meir used to say all the time. Afilo Matzah Ba'ashpa. Vichasmo. Let's say you find the get in the garbage. Okay, get in the garbage, meaning it was a discarded get. They decided that they're not going to use the get. Or maybe they used it and it's just the woman. Then whatever the case is, the get was found in the garbage. The get was not written for him and his wife, but it happens to have his name and his wife's name. So it takes an opportunity, uses the opportunity. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir said this, Afilo Matzah Ba'ashpa V'chasmo V'nasnu La Kasher. I can't be right, by the way, that it was used already, because then there would have already been signatures on it.
Right.
Okay.
Without signatures.
Right. This is a get without signatures. Okay, so in other words, he had the sofer write it up, and the sofer, and then they decided, you know what, we're not going to use it. Thrown in the garbage. Somebody else picks it up. Same name, same wife's name. Rabbi Meir says, if you have Adam sign on it, obviously they're going to be signing it. Lishma. Kasher. It's a perfectly legitimate get. Even though, obviously, the ksiva wasn't lishma, Rabbi Meir says the ksiva doesn't need to be lishma. Only the chasima needs to be lishma. Here you see very clearly in this brisa, or in this statement of Rav Nachman quoting Rabbi Meir, the requirement of lishma simply does not exist by the ksiva. Period. Now, and maybe you'll tell me, well, when Rav Meir made that statement, he only made it on the Daraisa level. The Gemara says, I'm not going to, no. Ihachi Omer Hayar Meir, Dvar Tormi Baile. No, that's not fair, because Rav Meir used to say this all the time. You mean to tell me that when he was talking, he was only talking on a Daraisa level? That's very misleading. If he meant that, he should have said that. Because imagine, he didn't mean it, although he said it. Rashi points out, people listening to him are going to think, oh, it must be okay. It must be there is no problem with it. It has to be that he meant what he said. When he said it's kosher, he meant it's perfectly kosher on a Daraisa level, on a Darabana level. Yeah, Rebbe Meir. So, the cost of law means chasima.
It
means the chasima.
What does Rebbe Meir do with the sota? That was also for the sota. The case had to be written for lishma.
Okay, but two different issues. Meaning that no, that's a different. That's not a shtar. That's a safer. Or it's different. So the Omer Hayaramir Dvar Torah Mi Ba'ilei Ela LaOlam Rebbe Elazar. Okay, so that was attempted answer number one. The Gemara pretty much rejected it. We're going to move on. So really, the shita of our Mishnah is really the shita of Rebbe Elazar. V'chila Bar Rebbe Elazar Chasima Hechad Aleik Edim Klal. Now, According to Rabbi Lazar, what's the Iker Shtar? The Ksiva. The content that you write on a document. That's the Iker. And as we pointed out, according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't even need witnesses.
Signatures.
Right, you don't need, you're right. You don't need the signatures on the document. Correct. That's true. However, Hecha de'ika edim baye. But once you have signatures there, they need to be qualified. Da'amar Rabbi Abba Moda Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar will admit to the following. He will agree to the following. Be'mezuyef mitocho shu pasol. That if it is a forged document mitocho, meaning, what do you have? You have, let's say, for example, says Rashi, a karov signing on the document, a relative. Or you have a pasol, someone who's not qualified to testify, a gambler, etc., etc. So if you have one of those people signing the document, even though according to Rabbi Lazar, you didn't need it. And it would have been fine had there not been anything there. But once you have a signature, so at that point in time, the signature needs to be there and it needs to be a kosher signature represented by a kosher witness. That's the halacha said by Rabbi Abba within the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Now here the Gemara is doing something interesting, because the Gemara is saying that this halacha is talking about where Rabbi Elazar will admit that if you have someone who signed on the document, but he signed it and he wasn't fit, he wasn't qualified. This is not exactly the same. What are we talking about? We're talking about the signature himself. The signator is a kosher witness. He's not a karov, he's not a pasul, he's kosher. The problem is, he just didn't sign it lishma. Now, I'm going to admit, I don't perfectly know what that means, signing lishma. Writing lishma, I understand. For this man, for this woman. Signing lishma, I'm guessing, that it means that the signatures who're signing are no, it's this man and this woman. I assume that's what it means. But it's not the same. In Karav and Pasol, we're talking about people who are disqualified who are signing. Mizuyev Besocho easily can understand what would happen if we pass this document through. I'll tell you what will happen. It's very simple. You'll see the person signing on the document. You'll think, oh, you know what? He's a good witness. We'll use them again. And we'll use them again. So somebody who's signing, according to Rabbi Lazar, I don't need the signatures. But once you have someone signing, he's got to be somebody kasher. That halacha is easily understood. You don't want someone in puzzle signing and then us thinking, oh, he must be okay. Over here, however, the person who signed is perfectly fine. The problem is, he didn't sign at Lishma. Gemara is equating those two points. It's a little bit difficult to understand how these two points are perfectly equatable. This is not my issue. This is Tosus's issue. Tosus is bothered by this very question. What's the comparison between a witness signing Shelo Lishma and a Karav and Apostle? Aval Hacha, I'm in Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. Just the highlights of the Tosfos. Right in the middle of the second Tosfos, Modi Rabbi Lazar ben Mezuyah Mitocho. Right in the middle. Aval Hacha Sha'idim Ksherim. Here the Eidim are Kasher. Ela Shechismu Shalal Lishma. Mat Kala Yesh Bekach Im Nismoch Aleihem. What's the big deal? Again, according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't need the witnesses. And the only fault over here with the witnesses had is that they just signed the document, you know, much like we sign our paperwork, with no thought whatsoever. Okay, or maybe I'm just describing me. Either way. Okay, in other words, they did a Shalal Lishma. They're fine. They're kosher. What's the problem? Tosos really struggles with this. The Yesh Lomar, I'm skipping now to almost the end of Tosos, four lines from the bottom. So Tosos at the end makes the following suggestion. Maybe it's Gzera Darabanan. And how do we describe the Gzera Darabanan? Because if we allow witnesses to sign Shalal Lishma, ultimately what may end up happening is the next time we write a document, well, you know, the Chasima was Shalal Lishma, maybe the Ksiva can also be Shalal Lishma. And we'll just simply, this idea of Shalal Lishma will infiltrate to the rest of our next document. As Tosos says, maybe that's why the Rabbi Elazar would passel a get, even though the witness is signed Shalal Lishma. So here,
First you write it.
Okay.
The chasim is like comes after.
Okay, right.
And you say
No, but the gzera. I hear you, but the gzera. This part I understand, because the gzera over here is not for this document. It's going to be for future documents. In the future, you know, I remember the witnesses signed. They didn't know what was going on. They just came in. They signed. All right, so you know what? That's Tosos. So here he quotes the Rashba. I didn't see the Rashba inside, to be perfectly honest. He quotes the Rashba. Rashba gives a beautiful answer to this question. The Rashba says that according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't need witnesses, right? That's the and by the way, the Gemara is in a moment about to note that's the halacha. The halacha is that the witnesses are not essential. When the Torah says v'kasof l'shma, the halacha according to Rabbi is like Rabbi Lazar, who says that's on the ksiva, not on the chasima. Okay, that's all well and good. The Rashba writes that when you have witnesses signing on the bottom of a document, you know what that becomes? That becomes part and parcel of the document. You don't need them, but once they're there and once they're signing on the document, it becomes etzem guf hashtar. It becomes like part and parcel now of the document itself. Really, I mean, it's a beautiful idea and a beautiful way to explain this halacha. Now that becomes part of the shtar. Now you understand. So just like the ksiv has to be lishma, so too when the witness is signed, their chasim also has to be lishma as well because now it's part of the document. Okay, that's the Rashba that he quotes. Okay, it's that's good. Yeah, it is good. Okay.
What are the Edom witnessing?
Right. So
they're not doing this. When they sign, she's not necessarily receiving the get, correct?
If the ksiva has to be lishma, so the witnesses are witnessing the mesira, they're witnessing the handing it over. If you're saying the chasim has to be lishma, then you're right. Then, according to Rabbi Lazar, they don't necessarily have to see the mesira. They don't have to be seeing it handed over. And parenthetically, that happens often. Meaning the get will be written somewhere else, signed, a whole series of shlichim delivering the get, and that's going to be handed over. And the witnesses who sign are not going to be seeing the mesira. They're not going to see it handed over. Correct. Okay, back to our Gemara. So, our question is at least answered. Now, the Gemara is going to move on to another answer, but at least for the time being, we have an answer. Question: Befanenechtam. Why do I need both? Rabbi Lazar says that only the ksiva has to be lishma. Rabbi Meir says only the chasima has to be lishma. So, why do I need to say b'fanenechtam u'v'fanenechtam? So our first answer of the Gemara is, well, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Lazar, but even according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't need witnesses, but once they're there, they need to be lishma. They have to sign lishma. That's our first approach with two possible explanations of why that should be. The Tosfos that we went through inside, and the Rashba that I just quoted. Okay, back to the Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar. The Gemara now continues and is going to give one final answer to this question, and that's the answer of Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi is now going to introduce us to door number three. Rav Ashi Amar Hamani Rabbi Yehudihi. Okay, so up until now, the Gemara only entertained two Tanaim, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. Now Rav Ashi says there's a third Tana. Rabbi Yehuda, did not Rabbi Yehuda posach to take sivasov v'chasim asov b'talosh. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that in order for a get to be a valid get, we know the basic halacha is that the get can be written on anything, and it doesn't have to be a parchment, it could be on anything, but it must be detached from the ground. It's a halacha that we're going to go over later on. We already mentioned once earlier in the Masechta. Fine. It has to be detached from the ground. According to Rabbi Yehuda, both the ksiva and the chasiva and the chasima has to be done already while it's detached. Why? Because both parts are essential parts of the shtar, and therefore the ksiva and the chasima have to both be detached. And so therefore that comes out now that according to Rav Yehuda, both the ksiva and the chasima have to be done lishma. So here we now have our mystery Tana, now no longer a mystery, it's Rav Yehuda. And if it bothers you, it's going to bother the Gemara right now. And so why do we go through an Amud of Gemara trying so hard to squeeze our Mishnah into either the Shita of Rabbi Lazar or the Shita of Rabbi Meir when meanwhile we have a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's both?
Why does Rabbi Yehuda have to say
that Mita Chasiba
Kotolish since you couldn't sign them until it's written?
Tosus, ask your question. Good. So Tosfos has an ukimta in terms of how it could be. It's a strange ukimta. I didn't think to say it over, but it is Tosfos designed a strange ukimta where both the ksiva and the chasima can be done. You know, can both be done b'mechubar and separately. Anyway, it's more it's It's a little more theoretical than practical, but the point being, according to Rav Yehuda, both need to be done lishma. So the Gemara says, Mokmina like Rav Yehuda, Mehadrinan. I'm sorry. So the Gemara asks, Mikara, my time Mokmina like Rav Yehuda. So good. Why spend an amud of Gemara trying to squeeze the Mishnah into Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, when meanwhile the Mishnah is a perfect fit for Rabbi Yehuda? So Mehadrin and Rabbi Meir, Destam Asifs and Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because, first let's start off with Rabbi Meir. We know, Klal Gadol Mishnayos, when you have an anonymous Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah is usually authored by Rabbi Meir. So that's why the Gemara struggled to squeeze Rabbi Meir into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah, at least the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, is an anonymous position. Okay, that's why we tried that. It's not always Rabbi Meir, but stam. Usually it is. And Madrin and Rabbi Elazar Dekamel Hilchasakavase Begitin. And we tried very hard to squeeze the Mishnah into Rabbi Elazar, because here's the Gemara saying that the halach, in fact, follows like Rabbi Elazar as it relates to Gittin. Sounds like from the Gemara that in other shtaros, the halach does not follow like Rabbi Elazar. Tosos says that's not correct. Tosos says that when we say the halach like Rabbi Elazar, it's a universal position. By all shtaros, halachas follows like Rabbi Elazar. It happens to be that we're learning Gittin right now. That's why the Gemara says Begitin. But it's true throughout. Tosos, Kaimalan Halacha, bottom Tosos. So that's why, that explains the last Amud of Gemara. We tried Rav Meir, because Tamishik Rav Meir. We tried Rav Elazar, because that's who the Halacha follows like. Acknowledging that neither really worked, although the Gemara did give a suggestion in terms of how to fit into Rav Elazar, but it was a tight squeeze. So the Gemara says, so okay, admittedly, the easiest fit of the Mishnah is that it's going like Rav Yehuda, who says that the Ksiva and the Chsima have to be done Lishma. I don't know. It's a reasonable question. I just don't know. And it's not Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Elazar. Right. Tanan. Okay. And now, after having identified who the author of the Mishnah is, now we're going to go back to the Mishnah. So it's interesting. What the Gemara now is going to do, and this is going to cover nearly the remainder of the daf, is go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually has four positions, four opinions. We didn't clarify what the machlokus is between the four opinions. We're going to do so now. The Gemara waits till now to do this because we're now going to see it within the context of the machlokus, Rabba Rava. Meaning that Rabba and Rava give two different explanations of the Mishnah, either Rabba Lishma, Rava Eidim Atzum Lekaimo, and now we're going to go back to the Mishnah, review all four opinions of the Mishnah, and see how that best fits into this machlokus of Rabba versus Rava. What's an easier way to explain the machlokus of the Mishnah based on these two positions? Tanan. Rami Gamliel, Amar Afa Mevi, Minarekam, Minacheger. So, let's review. In our Mishnah, first you have the opinion of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, you come in from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, you need to say Befan Nechta, Befan Nechta. Two, you have an opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that even if you're coming from Rekam and Cheger are proximate to Eretz Yisrael. Well, Rashi points out in the Mishnah, back in the Mishnah, Dav Bezim and Aleph, that was the same place that Hagar was exiled to when she when Sarah dismissed her.
Second or first? You mean first or second?
I should know the answer to that question. I'll look it up, but okay, offhand I don't know. Okay, so the Ben Kadesh Ben Barad. Okay, so that is that's the second opinion. That's Rami Gamliel. He says even when coming in from Rekem and Cheger, you have to say Befan Nechtam, Befan Nechtam. And then you had a third sheet on the Mishnah. Sorry, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu Mikfar Ludim LaLud. Even when traveling from Kfar Ludim to Lud. Okay, now. V'amar Abaye Bayarasas Muchazar Tisrael Umuvlos Betchum Eretz Yisrael Askinan. Now Abaye gives a little context to what we're talking about over here, and Rashi gives even more context. I'm sorry, let me just read a couple more lines of Gemara. V'amar Rabba Barachana Lididicha Ziliyahu Asra. I saw that, meaning I saw the distance from Kfar Lud to Lud. V'avikim Beikubi LePumbadisa. And it's the same distance from Beikubi to Pumbadisa. That doesn't help us much, right? Unless you're Iraqi geography is really good, but it's not just your Iraqi geography. You have to know. You have to know current Iraqi geography, and you have to also know how they match up with Beikuvi and Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa, I think, is Fallujah, but you know, don't quote me. Even though I'm on record saying it, but okay. Either way, I'll be honest. That didn't help me. But the point is that if you know how far they are from one another, that's the same distance from Kfar Lud to Lud. From the context of the Gemara, it seems like it's pretty close to one another. Anyway, let me explain all this a little bit better, and I'm just paraphrasing Rashi. You could see Rashi inside, but here's basically how it goes down. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that when you come in from outside of Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fan anechtam, b'fan anechtam. But according to the Tanakhama, you have to be coming from way outside of Eretz Yisrael. If you're within a city that's right up against the border, you don't have to say b'fan anechtam, b'fan anechtam. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Along comes Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel says, let me say it like this. I'm not with the Tanakhama. Even if you are a proximate city, that's not going to be enough. If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. And you're going to have to say b'fan nechtav, b'fan nechtav. For example, Rekim and Cheger, which again, geographically, I cannot identify, but here's a little that I know. It's right outside of Eretz Yisrael. You have to say b'fan nechtav, b'fan nechtav, because it's right outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel says, but here's what I'll give you. I'll give you that if it's a city that's basically enveloped by the border of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi goes on to describe that the border of Eretz Yisrael is not the Jordan River, but it's actually east of the Jordan River. There actually is a line that you're going to draw based on the cities that are identified in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and that will give you the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. What you'll notice as Rashi, I don't have a map in front of you, we're not actually witnessing this, but we can envision. It's not a straight line going down just east of the Jordan River, but it's jagged. And so what you can have is you can have, at one point in time, the border making a kind of like a U-turn into the Jordan, not hitting it, or maybe even hitting it, and then going back out again. And then further, if you want to envision, you can now have a city that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, but basically being bordered by Eretz Yisrael. Right? Its west side is Eretz Yisrael, its north side is Eretz Yisrael, its south side is Eretz Yisrael. So even though it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, but it's almost landlocked by Eretz Yisrael. Not totally. You know, it has its eastern side that is not Eretz Yisrael, but north, west, and south are all part of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel says, here, I will admit that if you have, and you do have such a city, so then you don't have to say b'fan anechta, b'fan anechta. And then the third sheet of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, I disagree about this point as well. Even a nearly landlocked city, also, they're considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, and you also have to say b'fan anechta, b'fan anechta. Okay, those are your three opinions in the Mishnah. Tanakhama, close is good enough. Rabbi Gamliel, close is not good enough. But I'll admit that if it's nearly landlocked, so then that's good enough. And Rabbi Eliezer, that no. Any city outside of Eretz Yisrael, unilaterally, is going to have to say b'fan anechtam, b'fan anechtam. Those are the three sheetahs of the Mishnah. Okay, everything I just said is basically Rashi. Now with all that stated, so now that we have everything set up, now Hesber. So what's the Nekudah Machlokas between these three opinions? Mechlal Tanakama Savra Hani Lo Tzarech Maila B'Hakim Efligi. The Gemara says, isn't this the Machlokas? Marsav Lefishayim Bikin Lishma. Really, they're not that according to the Tanakama, the issue is education. In other words, the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, obviously we're talking about the Jews, but they're living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Education is extraordinarily poor, and they don't know about this halacha of lishma. And so the Tanakhama subscribes to Rabbah. Of course, historically, it's just the opposite. Rabbah holds like the Tanakhama. And if it's a city that's near Eretz Yisrael, so you know osmosis, right? Just being close to Eretz Yisrael, so just being close to something, so you learn. So the cities that are right next to Eretz Yisrael, so they know. They know about this halacha of lishma. V'hani gemiri, omar sov v'lefi she'ini dimitzum l'kaimo. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Gamliel, no. The issue is travel restriction. The issue is people don't travel from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, period. It has nothing to do with education. And so therefore, they're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rava, that the issue is Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaimo. We're going to, at one point in time, need the documents certified. People are not traveling from outside to inside of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why you have to say B'fan Nechtam, B'fan Nechtam, B'hani Naim Lo Shchicha. And so now what comes out is that the machlokas between Rava and Rava, let me say it a little bit better, Rava and Rava are really the machlokas between the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. This makes the Amoraim extraordinarily uncomfortable because they don't want their position pigeonholed into one Tana's viewpoint. They would like that the entire Mishnah represents their viewpoint. So that's exactly what the Gemara is going to do. Rabba Mitaris Latame. Rava Mitaris Latame. So they're both going to explain based on their reasoning. Rabba Mitaris Latame. Dekule Amalo Lifi Shein Bekim Lishma. So according to Rabba, the whole issue in the Mishnah is the issue of Lishma. V'achaba Kamifle Gitana Kamasav Hanikim Desmuchos Megmar Gemiri. Tanakam is of the opinion that being near Eretz Yisrael means that you're going to learn through osmosis. Okay, the borders are tight. I know it's such a big issue now. The borders are tight. The borders are patrolled. But the Jews that are living just outside of Eretz Yisrael, they overhear. Halach Gittin, Hilchos Lashma, they get it. And V'asa Rabbi Gamliel, Amemar, Muvlas Gemiri, Smuchos Lo Gemiri. And Rabbi Gamliel says no. If it's a city that's landlocked by Eretz Yisrael or nearly landlocked, so they're going to learn through osmosis. But the cities that are outside of Eretz Yisrael and not surrounded by Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to learn. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no. If you have a land outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if it's almost landlocked by Eretz Yisrael, they're not Gemiri, they're not educated, or you could just simply say low plug. Sounds a little bit more like it's a low plug issue. You have to say, when transporting again from outside to inside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fananechta. So Rabba will tell you that the entire Mishnah is all predicated on the issue of Lishma. Rabba mitars l'tami dekule amal afishein edim etzil l'kaimo. And Rabba will do the same thing. Every time the Mishnah subscribes to my viewpoint, that the issue is kiyum hashtar. V'tanakam esavar hani kevin desmochas mishkach sheichi. And over here, basically it's the issue of how open is the border. Okay. Right. So, according to the Tanakama, if it's a city right next to Eretz Yisrael, so those borders are pretty much open. And that means then that we're not going to have a problem finding the Edom and if and when we need to certify the document. And Rabbi Gamliel says, if the city is nearly landlocked by Eretz Yisrael, so then the borders are going to be open. But if it's a land just outside of Eretz Yisrael and it's not landlocked, so no, the borders there will not be open. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, all borders are tight, all borders are sealed, there's no travel from outside to inside Eretz Yisrael, even those cities that are nearly landlocked by Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're always going to have to say, b'fanenechtam, because we're not going to be able to get the Eidon to be Mekayim. Okay. Adkan, so that takes us through now a better understanding of the Machlokas Tanayim and how the Amoraim would explain the Machlokas. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. V'chacham emar miminet zarech shiyamar b'fanenechtam ela amevi mimedinas hayam v'hamolech. Then there was a fourth Shita in the Mishnah, which is, we'll call them the Rabbanan Basrai, right, the later Chacham. They're unidentified, and they are of the opinion that when you go in either direction, you have to say b'fanenechtam, both into Eretz Yisrael, and also when you're transporting a get outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, by inference, we can easily deduce that the Tanakama only says when you're going into Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanenechtam, but not outside. So, my law b'hakamithlagi, the Gemara suggests, isn't this what they're debating? Marsav lefishe mekin lishma. V'hani gemiri. That the Tanakhama is of the opinion that the issue is lishma. And if the issue is lishma, when you're coming from outside to inside Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they don't know about lishma. That's why the witness, the shliach, has to testify b'fanenechta. But when you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, obviously the sofer in Eretz Yisrael, they know about lishma. Therefore, there's no need for b'fanenechta. And Umar Savar and the Rabbanan Basrai are of the opinion lefishein edimusim lekaimo v'haninam lo shchichi, and the issue is travel, and there is travel restriction basically both into and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we're going to have a problem finding the witnesses to certify, and so that's why the Chachamim allowed the one shliach to certify in both directions. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is that this machlokes between Rabba and Rava is really the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbanan Basrai, and again, they would like to avoid that, the Amoraim, because they don't want to be pigeonholed. Rabba Matars Latami, Rabba Matars Latami. Rabba Matars Latami, Dikulam Lafishem Bekim Lishma. V'acha B'gzeiras Molechatu Mevi Kamiflegi. Over here, the issue is, says Rabba, everyone is in agreement, the issue is Lishma. And that means fundamentally, when you're bringing a get, delivering it from Eretz Yisrael to outside, Of course you don't need to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. Now it's just a question of gzeira. So the Tanakama is of the opinion, Tanakama safer lo gazrina, molechatu mevi. Tanakama feels that there's no gzeira necessary. V'rabbanan basrei safer gazrina, molechatu mevi. And the chachamim say, the rabbanan basrei are of the opinion, that no, we'll make the chachamim and gzeira. Okay. Rava metar tame dekule am lefishenim mitzum lekaimo. So, and again, Rav is going to explain the Mishnah based on his position, which is the entire issue is an issue of Kimashtar. Now, if that's true, so then, shouldn't the Tanakama be agreeing with the Rabbanan Basrai? So Rav's answer is, they are agreeing. You didn't see that when you read the Tanakama, because, quite frankly, Tanakama didn't say it. And the Rabbanan Basrai are just coming to explain, this is what the Tanakama meant. Okay. Tanan.
There's no machlokas.
When you're transporting a get from one country to another outside of Eretz Yisrael, sarach lomar b'fanenechta b'fanenechta. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, ha be'osa medina b'medina sayam lo tzarech. The diuk is pretty simple. When I'm traveling within a governmental body outside of Eretz Yisrael, I don't need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. That's interesting, if that deek is correct. L'rava nicha. Now, according to Rava, perfect. Right. The whole issue over here is finding the witnesses so that we've been mekayim. We're within the same governmental district. We're going to find them. And there's no travel restriction. We're going to find them. That's why you don't need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. But according to Rava, it's kasha. It's difficult. Because according to Rabbah, the issue is Lashma, where the assumption is, or the concern is, that people living outside of Eretz Yisrael don't know about Lashma. So you're always going to have to say b'fanenechtam, even when transporting the get within the same country. So lo tema ba'osa medina medina sayam lo tzarech. So the Gemara says, you're agreed. Here's what Rabbah's going to do. You made a deek in the Mishnah. Let's not make that deek in the Mishnah. Now, we can make a deek in the Mishnah, we'll make a different one. We'll go sideways, right? Instead of making the diuk for outside of Eretz Yisrael, the contrast is what would happen in Eretz Yisrael. Ela ema, mimedina lemedina, be'eretz Yisrael, lo tzarech. Yeah. You know how you can understand the Mishnah? Is that if you're traveling within Eretz Yisrael, so then there's no need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. So the Gemara says, well, that's fascinating. Habehejah ketanya law. Well, you know, if you read the Mishnah, which we did, and if you remember the Mishnah, which hopefully we do, so then you'll know that the Mishnah actually says that. Ha-mevi gebe eretz Yisrael, enu tzarech lomar b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. The Mishnah actually says exactly that. When transporting a get within Eretz Yisrael, there's no need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. You're making a diuk to get to that point, when meanwhile, you don't have to make a diuk. The Mishnah says it. The Gemara says, yeah, but if I only had that line of the Mishnah, I might have thought, that's only as it relates to the halacha b'diavad. But lechatzchila, maybe you should say, so that the diuk is there to punctuate, and with an exclamation point, that it is perfectly legitimate within Eretz Yisrael not to have to say,
I mean,
the Lashon of the Mishnah speaks to it because the Mishnah says, Ha-mevi. So the Lashon of the Mishnah, okay. Igid Musav La Hachi, Ha-medina, Medina, Be'eretz Yisrael, Lo Tzarech. So we are going to do this again, but we're going to go in the, we're going to start with the other diuk. When you're transporting a get in Eretz Yisrael, there's no need. Le Rabba Nicha, Le Rabba Kashi. Now, according to Rabba, that's perfect. According to Rav, it's difficult. So lo tema mi medina medina b'eretz Yisrael lo tzarech ela ema ha be'osa medina b'medina sayam lo tzarech. So here the Gemara just simply says, no, don't make the diuk sideways to Eretz Yisrael. Keep the diuk to outside of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, when transporting a get within a country outside of Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say it. Ava medina la medina b'eretz Yisrael ma'i tzarech. So that means that if I'm traveling within Eretz Yisrael, but I'm going from one governmental body to another. Meaning, let's say, like, you know, the division we always talk about, north versus south, in Eretz Yisrael. Galut Yehuda. So when I'm transporting from Galut to Yehuda, so now you want to tell me that you need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. Lisnei ha-mevi medina la-medina stam. So, if that's what the Mishnah's intent is, so the Mishnah should say it. And it wouldn't be difficult for the Mishnah to say it. The Mishnah could just simply write, very simply, Hamevi Mimedina La Medina, when going from one governmental body to another, where travel is restricted from one to the other, and it doesn't matter whether you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, inside of Eretz Yisrael, you're going to need to say Befanan Echsa, Befanan Echsa. Because according to Rava, once travel is limited, and there was a concern, we're not going to find the original Edom, you need to say Befanan Echsa, Befanan Echsa. La'olam, just give me a moment. La'olam, Medina La'medina, Be'er Tisrael, Nami Lo Tzarech. The Gemara now is going to advance the following, and that is, that in Eretz Yisrael, even though there are different municipalities and different governing bodies of the districts within Eretz Yisrael, we're still not going to need to say Befanan Echta, Befanan Echta. Why? Because we have something that unites the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. They came into Ikaola Regalim, Mishkach Shchichi. You have Aliyah LaRegel. That's why I stopped you, because I knew the point was coming up. We have Aliyah LaRegel. Aliyah LaRegel unites the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Now, admittedly, and the Gemara does not discuss this, this point is a little bit problematic, because the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel is for everybody. Right, meaning not for just the Jews inside Eretz Yisrael, then the Jews outside Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but so,
intuitively, I also know. Right, intuitively, I know it's more of a unifier for those living in versus those living out. I do understand that, but the Gemara is just it's worth noting. The Gemara is assuming that Aliyah LaRegel unites all Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and so even though they're coming from different governing bodies and different municipalities, but still Aliyah LaRegel unites everybody, and we're going to be able to find the witnesses who signed on the document. The Gemara is wonderful, but we're learning our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was post Chorban. Our Mishnah clearly was representing an opinion that even applied after destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What's the great unifier? So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what the great unifier is? The Bati Dinim assembling on Mondays and Thursdays. And again, it's also worthwhile noting that the Takan of Ezra, it sounds like it was more applicable in Eretz Yisrael than outside of Eretz Yisrael, because the Gemara is now explaining why everyone in Eretz Yisrael ultimately will be united. We're going to be able to find the witnesses who signed under the document, even though there are different governing agents, different geographical territories within Eretz Yisrael, but still the Bati Dim will unite. And it's pretty clear from the Gemara, and that's not true for those living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, worthwhile noting. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up just as a quick recap. Again, the Mishnah, our daf today is discussing the Mishnah and the two opinions within the Mishnah of Rabba versus Rava. Why do you have to say Befanan Echta, Befanan Echta? So, first of all, we addressed today, according to Rabba, who says that the issue is Lishma, why do you have to say both Befanan Echta, Befanan Echta? Two opinions, basically, two answers in the Gemara. Number one, it could be that our Mishnah is found like Rabbi Lazar, that really the Ksiva has to be Lishma, but not the Chasima. But once you have witnesses signing, they also need to be Lishma, for again, two different reasons which we suggested today. Two is that there's door number three. There's a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that both the Ksiva and the Chasima have to be Lishma, and that is the Shita of our Mishnah. We didn't want to go there, because Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, that's why we tried Rabbi Meir. The Halacha is like Rabbi Lazar, that's why we wanted Rabbi Lazar, but okay, we went there. Okay, and then for the remainder of today's daf, we then looked at the various shitas in the Mishnah, actually four shitas we explored today of our Mishnah. We noted what the difference is between shitas 1, 2, 3, and 4. How do you explain those shitas within the shita of Rabba, within the shita of Rava? Each Amar was able to squeeze their shita within the opinions of the Mishnah. We made diukim in the Mishnah. How does the diuk settle better for Rabba or for Rava? The Gemara went through that as well. And so the daf today is still dedicated to the topic of Machlokas, Rabba, and Rava in terms of how to understand the Mishnah.